As I mentioned many times, I have myself a hard time understanding. Oh, by the way, you should have a source sheet. One sheet, two sides. And I have a hard time understanding, appreciating what Lag BaOmer means. I'm gathering that I'm not the only one. I'm gathering based on my, you know, exchanges with some friends last night, and you know, I have a WhatsApp group of friends that I've known since elementary school, and we're all, and that's one WhatsApp group, and I have a family WhatsApp group, and we're all trying to figure out what the Kedusha is in, you know, piercing through the ozone layer and birthing otherwise good wood. I'm poking fun at myself, not anybody else. There are some very holy things about Lag BaOmer. I'm trying to get to know them as I go through my life and see what it means. We thought that we would spend this morning in a Yom Iyun describing or discussing one aspect of Lag BaOmer, and that is the component of Bein Adam LaChaveiro, the component of how one treats each other, specifically because Lag BaOmer is the day where the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, those who died mitnei shelo nahagu kavod zeh lazeh. And so even if that never happened, we would still be focusing on Bein Adam LaChaveiro as we march towards that awesome day of Har Sinai that we relive every day and also on Shavuot. So we would focus on it anyway, ki ish echad b'lev echad. We spoke earlier about what it means to be a tzibur, and that happened in Israel, when we entered Israel. But anyway, we'd be focusing on Bein Adam LaChaveiro, but we're specifically focusing on it because of the events of Rabbi Akiva. And I wanted to kind of tie those three together. Not only Bein Adam LaChaveiro in terms of Har Sinai, and not only Bein Adam LaChaveiro in terms of Rabbi Akiva, but I specifically wanted to speak about the Bein Adam LaChaveiro of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. You should have a source sheet, one page, two sides. The Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Chiel Michal Halevi Epstein, who died in the early 20th century, only about a little more than 100 years ago. He's the father of the Torah Tamima. He and others have said that one of the aspects, unique components of Lag BaOmer is, and I'm just going to read the underlining at the end of line one. He says that it's a holiday, that you can all of a sudden you can, you know, get haircuts and music now. Mipnei shemachazikim hayom hazeh liktzat yom tov. V'gam b'mincha shelefanav. We don't say mincha yesterday either. I'm sorry, we don't say tachanun yesterday either. We didn't say tachanun this morning, not this afternoon. Urgilin likroto hilula derabbi Shimon bar Yochai, or hilula derashbi. Celebration of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. We talked a little bit last night about why, what am I celebrating? Celebrating a yortzeit? That's not for now. Ube Eretz Yisrael marbim bitfila uvahadlakat neirot al kivro hakadosh v'yomrim shenistalek biyom ze. They say, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that he died that day. V'gam yatsa mehame'ara biyom ze. Many Rishonim and Achronim believe and say that today is the yortzeit of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Today is the anniversary of his leaving the cave. Others claim that this is not that day. And if you want, there are articles from here till tomorrow about whether this is, why are we celebrating? We shouldn't be celebrating on the yortzeit. Is it a misprint? I saw something that I have a cousin that runs a blog, that a very in-depth blog about Sfarim and old Sfarim, and somebody there wrote a very long piece about how Lag BaOmer really came from a misprint. And then instead of saying that it was the day Shemait Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Shemait, instead of this person believes, and he quotes and he photocopies old Sfarim. I saw one from 1705, that instead of saying that today is the day Shemait Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that he claims that there is a Ta'ut Sofrim, and it was really a day that he was Sameach, because he didn't die. And the dying stopped. And that's why we have Hilula, and that's, okay, take it, leave it. Bekitsur, though, today is, at least according to Aruch HaShulchan and many others, today is the day where he died, and today is the day that he left the cave. And so at least I wanted to begin with a Gemara that we saw earlier this year. We saw this Gemara, if you recall, earlier this year on Parshat Yitro, when we were comparing the Aseret HaDibrot between Yitro and Vayetchanan, Shamor v'Zachor, the focus of Yitziat Mitzrayim vis-a-vis Briyat HaOlam versus Yitziat Mitzrayim, Shabbos. Shabbos relating to creation of the world versus Shabbos relating to Yitziat Mitzrayim. And we talked about Zachor v'Shamor. Remember the old man running, Shimon bar Yochai, and his son Rabbi Lazar. So we that time we didn't read the whole Gemara. We only read the second half. I want to read the beginning of it. A, so we can get a taste of who Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was. B, so we can get an idea of his Benem L'Chavero. Then we're going to see a really incredible Gemara about his son. Here we go. Yatveh. We're in source number 2. Excuse me. Yatveh Rabbi Yehuda, v'Rabbi Yossi, v'Rabbi Shimon, v'Yativ Yehuda ben Gerim Gabayu. These rabbis were sitting together, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Shimon bar Yochai, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim was sitting with them. Middle of line 1. This is the Gemara that everyone was thinking about last night on Lag BaOmer today also. Patach Rabbi Yehuda v'Yamar. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kama na'im ma'asehen shel umazu. How great are the actions of this nation, not Jews, but the Romans. How great are they? Tiknu shvakim. They made markets, a shuk, shuks. Tiknu gisharim. They made bridges. Tiknu mechatzaot. They made bathhouses, running water, hot water systems. They're incredible. We have to appreciate when they do nice things for us. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Middle of line 2, Rabbi Yossi Shatak. He didn't get involved, nothing to say. Ne'ene Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'yamar. Rabbi Shimon Yochai answers and says the following, v'yamar. Kol ma shetiknu lo tiknu ela letzorech atzman. How can you praise them? All they did for themselves. What does that mean? Tiknu shvakim, line 3. You know why they made shuks? You know why they made stores and markets and malls? Lo shiv behen zonot. So you can have a zonot market there. They didn't do it to, increase our well-being or our welfare. Was for a terrible reason. You know what they did, like middle of line 3, mechitzaot. You know why they made bathhouses? Not to be clean. V'haya machanecha kadosh. No, that was le'adein b'hen atzman, to make themselves, delicate, so to speak, to make themselves pleasurable, to give themselves pleasure. Gesharim. You know why they made bridges? Litol mehen meches. In order to make to collect taxes. And by the way, taxes in those days didn't only mean money, it also means people for their wars and for their construction plans. That's the only reason why. So, Halach Yehuda ben Gerim v'siper divrehem. Yehuda ben Gerim went, and he didn't speak directly to the authorities, but instead of this being a confidential conversation, it became a general conversation. He started talking about it. And v'nishme'u lemalchut. Oh boy. The Malchut found out about it. The authorities found out about it, that this conversation was going on. Amru, this is the way they responded. Yehuda, of course they're not going to call him Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda she'ila yit'ale. Rabbi Yehuda, who raised us up, who complimented us, he himself shall be raised up, he himself should be lifted up, he himself should be complimented, he's going to get rewarded financially, I suppose, or a position, doesn't say. Yossi, Sheshatak Yigalel Tzipori. Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, was in between. He should have said something, but he also didn't say something negative. So we're going to give him galut to go to Tzipori. Not terrible, that's where the Mishnah was written, you know that, but still you can't live at home. Shimon Bar Yochai, Shagina, or Shimon Bar Yochai, who insulted Gnut, Yehareg, he has to die. I'm going to skip a little bit, but basically the Gemara, and I even skipped there with the three dots. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai hears this and he runs away. Where does he run? End of line 5. You see where it says Azlu? End of line 5, Azlu. He and his son, Rabbi Elazar. He and his son, Rabbi Elazar, went Tashu b'ma'arata. This is the cave we're talking about. They ran to a cave. They couldn't live anywhere else. They had to get off the grid. Because the Romans were after, and as soon as Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was found, he would be killed. And so Rav Shimon Bar Yochai runs away with his son, Rabbi Elazar. Itrachish Nisa, line 6. A miracle occurred, a miracle transpired. Ivrele Charuva, a carob tree was created. Ve'ena demaya, and also a well. Miracle, never happened before. A well sprouted up out of nowhere. Ve'havu mishalchei minayhu. They used to take off their clothing every day. Ve'havu yatvei ad savarayhu bechala kula yo. I'm sorry, bechala. They would stay all day in the sand. They would stay all day in the sand up to their necks. Savarayu. Up to their necks. Kule yoma garse. They would, what would they do all day? Learn Torah. They would learn Torah like that all day. But idan sluye, when it was time to daven, lavshu, michsu, umatslu, they got dressed, they covered themselves up, they davened, the hadar mishalcha minayhu, kihechi delo livlu. They would, afterwards, they would take off their clothes, go back into the sand, up to their necks, they would stay cool. But why? Kihechi delo livlu, so that their clothing would not wear out. There's no Target over there, there's no Walmart, there's no way or any other fancy place they could buy clothing from. These are people who are in for the long haul, and they have to take care of themselves. I just want to give you a picture. You've heard the story before, yes? You heard the story before. Have you seen it inside recently? No. Just, even though you've heard it, pretend like you've never heard it. Okay? You've heard it before? You're supposed to say, no, I didn't hear it. I'm pretending, oh, no. The answer is, I never heard it. Oh!
Heard it.
But never, good, good, good. You got it. We're pretending like we never heard it. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar, and we're going to see in a moment, for many years, lived this supernatural, isolated existence. Supernatural, phenomenally spiritual, isolated existence. Correct? This is the Kolel of Rashbi in a cave. Food is coming to them at their doorstep. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every single day. Miraculously, they're surviving. They are surviving. They're not only being fed miraculously, they're being sustained miraculously. They're also living a life of total spirituality, total Torah, no involvement in the outside world, completely isolated. Yes? Not for a day and not for 2 days, but says line 7, sort of in the middle. Itvu Tresar Shane b'ma'arata. I think part of this we began learning back in Yitro, if I'm not mistaken. They sat for 12 years. Again, you've never heard this Gemara before. At least that's the way we're... 12 years! Not a week, a month. This is a camping trip that's lasting 12 years. And of course, no contact with the outside world. You can't send an email or a postcard because they'll find out where he is and they'll kill him. So he is living an isolated, totally spiritual, totally Torah, totally miraculous existence for 12 whole years. Good. Ata Eliyahu, comes Eliyahu. Vikam apitza de ma'arata Eliyahu anavi. Who else is going to come? Miracle. And he sits, beginning of line 8, he stands on the at the entrance to this cave. Omar, and he says, generally, man ludei lebar yochai demit kesar uvatil gzirte. Who is going to tell Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar that Caesar, the Caesar, has died and all of his decrees have been nullified? Who's going to tell him that? Who's going to tell him that? Which means the Caesar has died and all the decrees are nullified. In other words, it's time to leave. Nafku, they went out. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai go out. And again, I know this is Chazara, both in terms of this year and in general, but let's read it inside. Chazu they saw inche de kachrave vizare. Their first encounter with the outside world. After living 12 years, 144 months, they didn't just stay Shana Aleph in the cave, Shana Bet, Shana Gimel, Shana Dal, 12 years. And the first person they see is not a person saying Kriyat Shema, is not a person learning Torah, is not a person visiting a sick person, is not a person giving staka, but a person who is plain old, getting his hands dirty, that he saw people in general, Dika Chrave Vizare, they were plowing and planting. As we've seen a couple times this year, there's nothing more physical, there's nothing more this worldly than just working the dirt, soil under the fingernails, hardened skin from the sun. There's no Gemara in their hand, there's no YU Torah in the earphones or Send Torah from our website and others that you all go to all the time. There's none of that. He's just plain old planting. They're just plain old planting, plowing and planting. Amar, says Rishim Bar Yochai, Minichin Chaye Olam Beoskin Bechaye Sha'ah. How in heaven's name, literally, how in heaven's name can somebody be doing this, leaving the great world to come to deal with silly little cucumbers and silly little, I don't know, peppers? Crazy. And what happens? Kol Makom Shenotnim Eineihem Miyad Nisraf. Anywhere they looked, they burned. They were so otherworldly. Now, if you've never heard this Gemara before, it's fair to ask, what happened to the Ben Adam L'Chavero? They're burning other people's fields, their livelihoods. That's really challenging, to say the least. So, Yatzta Bat Kol V'Yamra, middle of line 9. Comes out of Bat Kol and says, Lahem, Lehachriv Olami Yatzatem. That's why you left the cave in order to destroy the world? You left the cave in order to destroy Olam Hazeh? These people are planting and building the world. Chizru Lema'aratchem. Go back to your caves. You didn't learn what you were supposed to learn in yeshiva. You didn't learn what you were supposed to learn in yeshiva. Hadur, they went back. Azul, Itvu, Tresar, Yarche, Shata. They sat there again for another 12 months. Not 12 years, 12 months. Why? Amre, Mishpat, Rishaim, Begehenim, Yudbet, Chodesh. That line in the Gemara. You know why they stayed another 12 months? Because Rishayim spend 12 months in Gehenim. Whenever I say that, if I quote that Gemara, I have to move over like 2 steps. I'm mamish afraid of some kind of lightning bolt coming down. Luckily, I'm quoting a Gemara. If I quoted anybody else, we'd be throwing things. Again, if we pretend that we never heard this Gemara before, they stayed in the cave another 12 months because Mishpat get Rishaim begehenim 12 months. You didn't learn what you're supposed to learn. You didn't change what you're supposed to change. You didn't fix what you were supposed to fix. And so go back. And they come back out of 12 months. And I'm going to stop for this Gemara. I'm going to stop now because we saw it before. But I'll remind you that when they went out, I'll say it outside for now. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar go out again after another 12 months. So it's 13 years in total. And if you recall, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is fine. But if you recall, Rabbi Elazar is still burning things. He's still not used to the outside world. And that's the story when they saw the old man running Bein HaShmashot. Remember we saw Rav Kook about Bein HaShmashot? Rav Kook says that Bein HaShmashot is neither day nor night. It's also both day and night. It's transition period. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. Itaruta de la'ela, itaruta de tata. Remember that? We talked about that. He had two flowers, two hadasim, one for Shamor, one for Zachor, and they didn't understand why you need two, Shamor v'Zachor. Oh! And the last two lines of the whole Gemara, the last two words of the whole Gemara is, I can go back a little bit. He says to his son, Chaze, take a look, kama chavivin mitzvot al Yisrael, and therefore, yativ da'atayhu, their minds were settled. They needed to hear that there is a cave and there are also fields. They needed to hear that they had to learn. It took them a long time, 13 years, to learn. And his son, it took him a little longer to learn that there are caves, miraculous existence. But there's also people who need to be planting. A very similar encounter, a very similar story, narrative, comes from the Gemara and source number 3. It's a Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph and Chaf Amud Bet. The first three lines is Chaf Amud Aleph, and line 4 to the end is Chaf Amud Bet. This Gemara you may have heard before. This is a different kind of narrative, very similar message. I'll start at line 1 towards the end where it says Tanu Rabbanan. End of line 1, Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan le'olam yehe adam rach kakaneh ba'al yehe kashe ke'erez. A person should always be soft like a reed, a willow that waves in the sun. I don't mean soft in Beiranam Lamakom. It's kosher, it's kosher. It's not kosher, it's not kosher. I'm not going to be soft about that. This is a Gemara of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. When it comes to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, one should always be soft like a reed and not strong like an erez. An erez is a cedar throughout Tanakh, throughout our cedar. Ke'erez balvanon yisgeh erez. The cedar trees are always strong and tall and firm and unbending. We're not unbending, we are bending. For example, line 2, Ma'aseh Sheba Rabbi Elazar B'Rabbi Shimon. There is a story about Rabbi Elazar, son of Rabbi Shimon, son of Yochai, Rabbi Shimon by Yochai, Rabbi Elazar ben Rashbi. The man who spent 13 years with his father in a cave, this is the story. Mimigdal Gedor. He came from a city called Migdal Gedor. I'm not going to read it inside, but the Maharal on the back of the page, source number 4, the Maharal from Netivot Olam, Netivot Ha'anava, tells us Rabbi Elazar was learning in a yeshiva called Migdal Gedur. Migdal means a tower. Gadur means Gedir. What? Yeah, a gate, a fence. So he was learning Torah in the yeshiva called Migdal Gedor. I am pretty sure that you will never hear about a school called Midreshet Migdal Gedor, and you're never going to hear a yeshiva called Migdal Gedor. Because as the Maharal explains, and as this Gemara continues to explain, Migdal Gedor means a tower. In English, we would call it an ivory tower. You know that expression? An ivory tower. He was learning Torah in a tower. Not physically, not literally, but removed, separated, boundaried. Now, that sounds very harsh for me to say that. If you think that sounds harsh, read the next few lines of the Gemara. Ma'aseh shebar Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon mi'migdal gedor mi'beit rabo. He's coming from his Rebbe's house. V'haya rachuv al chamor. He was riding a donkey. U'mitayel al sfat nahar. And he was also mitayel, maybe it was ben azmanim, he's mitayel on a donkey along the side of a river. V'sameach simcha gedola. Happy. V'hayta da'ato gasa alav. What does that mean? He was very happy with himself. Gas means gaivadik. Mipnei shelamad Torah harbe. He was very happy because he learned a lot of Torah. Learns a lot of Torah in a city, in a place that's nivdal, that's removed. That may be important. He was learning in a cave. May have not been a physical cave, but he was learning out there. And by the way, that's not necessarily bad. But the results can be bad, especially if it's permanent. And he was very happy. It's the Gemara talking. I'll stay in 2 feet this way now. Gasa alav Rabbi Shimon. I have to take a quick 60-second timeout. You are well familiar with a long-standing debate, healthy, machlok l'shem shamayim, about whether we are allowed to criticize the greats of our previous generations. All the way from Adam HaRishon, all the way till today, are we allowed or not allowed? If you're interested, there's a lot of debate back and forth. There's one specific piece of that debate that surrounds Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, who criticizes Yitzchak and Rivka in the way they raised Esav and Yaakov, and he says very clearly, he sent them to the same yeshiva, they sent them to the same yeshiva, and had they understood that Esav was an Esav and wanted to teach him that way, and Yaakov was a Yaakov and had to teach him that way, we would have had two huge gedolim on our hands. One gadol ha-Torah and one gadol ha-Ma'aseh, so to speak, and what a great shiluv that would have been, but mistakes were made, and some people blast of Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, some people support, but that's only one of a long debate. That's not for now, but it's clear that the Gemara is not holding back any punches. And if you think that we're done with the punches being held back, wait till you read the next few lines of the Gemara. But I'm just saying it's important that even if you subscribe to the opinion, it seems that this Gemara clearly does, and the last Gemara clearly does, that we can criticize them. Obviously, this is the 60-second tangent. That was only an introduction to the 60-second tangent. Obviously, I don't even want to say the words, we're not talking about regular people. We're talking about the gedolei hador. Anyone you have ever met. Anyone whose funeral you ever went to, like last week, and anyone else, would claim that they don't even come up to the big toe of Rabbi Elazar. Okay? I may know that. Rav Tabori, he should have a refuah shleima, told me that they, when he was younger, and they came out from a particularly good shir, they said to Rabbi Soloveitchik, if you, I told this story recently to somebody, but this is, the story I'm telling you now is the more accurate one. I forgot who I told it to. Rav Tabori said that some of the younger boys said to Rabbi Soloveitchik after a particularly powerful shir, oh, Rebbe, if Rebbe lived in the days of Rashi, Rebbe would have been a Rishon. You know how you talk in third person? Rabbi Soloveitchik would have been a Rishon. Rashi, Ramban, Rambam. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, if I lived in those days, I'd be lucky if I was a guard outside the Beit Midrash. we're nothing compared. So let's keep it in mind. I have a Rebbe who to this day I say thank you to. I'll say his name out loud. His name is Rabbi Hayat. He was my ninth grade Gemara Rebbe, one of my real influences on learning basic skills of Gemara. I still know him and in touch with him. And he, I remember very clearly, it happened to me, but then once I saw it happen to a lot of people. We're learning a Machloket, we were learning Masechet Gittin, and the year is 1981, and we're learning Masechet Gittin. And in the beginning of the Gemara there is a machlok between Rabba and Rava. So we did some kind of machloket, and he said, okay, who can summarize the machloket? I raised my hand. This is after the story I told. This is after the first day of school, so we're okay. And I raised my hand, and he says, okay. I said, well, one guy says chayev, and one guy says not chayev. And he bangs his hand, a very nice man. There are no guys in the Gemara. Guys play baseball, guys hang out. Rabbis! One rabbi says, and to this day, my children suffer. Because when we say, well, one guy says, Beit Hillel is not a guy. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is not a guy. But it's so, I don't bang on the table, but it's like an inside joke already. It's a 30 year, more than that joke. But it's true, and it says a Roshem. So we're going to hear a story that's going to be very difficult to swallow. And if you subscribe to the fact that you can subscribe to the opinion which says that you can criticize, it's only to make them more human and to see how they respond. But we are no way talking about guys and a lot of levels. Okay. So he was very happy. Gas learned a lot of Torah in Migdal Gdor, line 4 in the beginning, Mizdamein Lo Adam Echad. Some, I guess we could say guy in this case, you know, he perchanced upon this person, Shehaya Micho Arbioter. He was particularly ugly. Particularly ugly. Again, I'm not going to read it inside, but if you go to the back of the page, Rabbi Tzadok Milublin tells us that whenever in Tanakh, in Gemara, you hear about beauty and ugliness, we're not talking about physical beauty, we're talking about with midot, with mitzvot, with Torah. This man had no Torah. He didn't have any Torah. He was very, very ugly in that way. But the Pashup Shad, he was physically ugly. Amarlo, beginning of line 5. So this man says to Rabbi Elazar, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Shalom Alecha Rebbe. And again, after my speech about no guys, this was a guy. A regular guy, very ugly, says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Velo hichzir lo, and Rabbi Elazar did not respond to him. Amar lo. Finally, Rabbi Elazar says back to him, Reka, you empty one. Kama mechoar oto haish. Wow, that man is ugly. But he says it to the person himself. Rabbi Elazar, wow, that man's ugly. Shema kol b'nei ircha mechuarin kamotcha. Maybe everybody from your city is that ugly? Okay. Maybe everybody in that city is as ugly as you. Amar lo, so this really ugly man says, Eini yodea. I don't know. El aleich, go. Ve'emor le'uman she'asa'ani kama mechu'ar klizeh she'asita. I don't know. But go back to the artisan that made me and tell him how ugly I am. He used the mashal. Go back to the potter and say how ugly this pottery is. Go back to the silversmith and say how ugly. In other words, go back to God. You didn't say a single bad thing about me. You said a lot of bad things about God, who obviously is not perfect because he can't make everybody perfect. Whoa. Line 9. Rabbi Elazar gets slapped in the face. Kevan sheyada biatzmo shechata. This is how we can learn from Rabbi Elazar. Turns out that Rabbi Elazar learned well in the cave that there are elite Jews, that there are more powerful Jews, and there are pretty low-life Jews. Jews who didn't have the zechut to go to yeshiva, Jews who didn't have the zechut to learn in a cave for 13 years. He learned quite well that there is a caste system in Judaism, high, lows, goods, bads. And obviously that was the very thing that he was sent back in the cave to learn after 12 years. Mishpat Gehenim is 12 months for Rishayim. He had to learn it, and it was still hard for him. And it was still hard even later when he meets up with this man who is ugly b'midot, or as Rav Tzadok Medublin says, hakol b'inyanei hanafshi. That was a mistake. There are no such thing as good Jews and bad Jews, no such thing as religious or not religious. God, there might be. I'm not good enough. I don't know. Learned, not learned. And he realizes there's a big mistake. Kavan. Line 9, Kavan shiyada b'atzmo shechata, yarad min hachamor. This is the tshuva, this is the change of Rabbi Elazar. He gets off his donkey, v'nishtateach lefanav. What's a shatiach in modern Hebrew?
Carpet,
yafeh. Because a shetach is an area. A shatiach covers a shetach. He spreads himself out. He's begging. You know when we say I'm on my hands and knees? He was literally on his hands and knees, even more than that. V'yamar lo ne'eneti lecha machuli. I'm begging you. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. He realizes something hit. Amarli amarlo eini mochel lecha. I will not forgive you. Ad shetelech la'uman she'asa'ani. Until you go back to that artisan, God himself. Ve'emorlo kama mechuar kli ze she'atzita. Until you go back. Not good enough. Apology, at least for the man's perspective, wasn't good enough. We'll see if it should have been accepted. Haya mitayel acharav ad shigia l'iro. Rabbi Elazar, one of the gedolei gedolei hador, is following this ugly man. He is ugly. The Gemara tells us he's ugly. Physically or nafshi. It's incredible. He could be, you know, an ignorant Ama Aretz. And you have the great Gadol Hador Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, following him all the way till the guy gets home. And I can say guy in this case. Yatsu b'nei iro likrato, v'hayu omrim lo shalom alecha, Rebbe, Rebbe, Mori, Mori. They were all coming out to greet, not the ugly man, but Rabbi Elazar. Amar lahem, so says the man, the regular man, l'mi atem korin Rebbe, Rebbe, who are you calling Rebbe, Rebbe? Amru lo lazesh mitayel acharecha, to the man behind you. Amar lahem, says the regular man, im ze Rebbe al yirbu kamoto b'Yisrael. I hope that there's not a lot of people like that. Amru lo mipnei ma? Why? Amar lahem, line 19, kach v'kach asali. This is what this. He tells him the whole story. Line 19, amru lo. Afal pi chein mechol lo she'adam gadol batorahu. He does have a lot of Torah. He made a mistake. He is apologizing. He did learn that every Jew, even those who don't have the zechut that we have to learn Torah like we do, every Jew, it's God who judges, not us. Amar lahem, line 20, bishvilchem hareini mochelo ubilvad shelo yehei ragil asot kein. I'll do it. I'll forgive him. On the condition that he's not ragil asot kein. The marsha understands that line. The man didn't say on the condition he doesn't do it again. It was on the condition shelo yehei ragil asot kein. The marsha understands this request as coming from a need to not be a Baal Gaiva. Because if someone's a Baal Gaiva, they will be ragil to act in this way. And that's what happens. Rabbi Elazar learns, Rabbi Elazar understands, the Gaiva that came from learning Torah we're talking about. We're not talking about Gaiva because he can play basketball well, or Gaiva because he's good looking, but it's a spiritual Gaiva. We will call that Yuhara maybe. That's perhaps the Mipnei Shelo Nagu Kavod Zelazeh. Who's greater in Torah comes from a Gaiva. Miyad nichnas Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon v'darash. And this is, Rabbi Elazar walks into the Beit Midrash and immediately says the following idea. Le'olam yehei adam rach kakaneh va'al yehei kasheh ke'erez. That's what we started the whole Gemara with. A person has to be flexible. A person has to understand that there are 12 shvatim in Klal Yisrael. And you have to understand that everybody is doing the best given their circumstances. Not everybody has the abilities that you were given. Not everybody has the financial opportunities that you were given. Not everybody has the beautiful, wonderful families, supportive families that you were given. We have to understand and appreciate. And so therefore we have to be flexible like a kaneh and not rigid like a cedar tree. Ulefikach, the last line in the Gemara. What does lefikach mean? Yafe me'od, lefikach, therefore, zacha kaneh litol heimena kulmus. That is why the kaneh was zoche to make a kulmus. A kulmus means a pen or a, what's that called, with a quill, right? You take a kaneh and you turn it, chop it out, take it out, and turn it into a pen, lichtov bo sefer Torah, tefillin, umezuzot. Ask a sofer, wouldn't it be easier to use an erez to write a Torah with? It's sturdier, it's stronger, it'll last longer. No, the Torah that you and I read, the mezuzah that you and I kiss, the tefillin that I and other people like me wear, are written not with an erez. This is it. It's rather written by a kaneh. It's written by a kulmus that comes from a kaneh. Understand. Understand. Every Jew is holy. Every Jew is important. And when we talk about Beinam Lechaveiro, when we talk about treating other people, it's not because you're nice. It's beautiful to be nice. But it's because you recognize the value in every single person. You recognize the value in every single person. It happens all the time. It's human nature. It happens to all of us. But if I were to bring my friend into the room here and I would say, oh, this is my friend, people would say, this is a bad example because you guys are always very nice. But in another environment, maybe, I would bring them in, maybe bring them somewhere else. I'd say, oh, this is my friend. Oh, nice to meet you. Good. Hi, nice. Okay, good. Nice to meet you. Good. Very nice. His name is Bill Gates. Whoa! I had no idea. So all of a sudden, right, have you seen that before? This is my friend. This is my fiance. Oh, welcome! I had no idea. Which means I had no idea how important you were until this very moment. We do that. It's bad. We have to budget our time. But imagine if I saw in every single person Bill Gates, or every single person somebody special. And that's not a matter of being nice. That's a matter of valuing how special they are. And of course, by definition, I can be nice back to them. Sever panim yafot, the gift that you give to other people, the hellos that you give to other people, the Shabbat shalom you give to other people. You don't even know them. Some of you come from cities with the larger Jewish communities. Some of you from smaller Jewish communities. I came from a smaller Jewish community where it would have been unheard of to walk passing each other on the street, a fellow Jew on Shabbos, and to say good Shabbos. I was in another city with a lot of more Jews live there, and I remember clearly, I was younger, as long as it happened before today, I guess I was always younger in every story, but I remember walking with my cousin, we're walking, and we say good Shabbos to these two Jews, and because my cousin and I are from the same town, so we're in a big town with a lot of Jews, and we said good Shabbos, and about 2.5 feet after they passed us, we heard one of them say to the other, do you know them? I don't know them. I thought that it was so funny. I'm not judging an entire people or even an entire city by two people. And a lot of people, I'm just saying that never would have happened if the measure for being nice to someone is whether you knew them or not. I know them because they're Jewish. They're my brothers and my sisters. Remember the tzibur we're talking about? That's this. And what happened to Rabbi Elazar, the mistake that he made, was that he didn't appreciate. He learned a lot of Torah. Yafem od gadol ador, no question about it. Quoted everywhere in the Gemara, everywhere. Quoted everywhere. And yet, there was a certain elitist. And that's, I'm sorry to say that. It's the Gemara, black and white. The greatness of Rabbi Elazar. Also, though, is that he saw that and he corrected it. There comes a time where you have to go into a cave. Agreed. Have to. You have to. Everybody goes into a cave in the entire world. The other word for a cave people call a bubble. And I know some of my friends who work in other institutions like this. It's not a bubble. It's a bubble. But I'm not embarrassed to call it a bubble because you're going to be going after this to another bubble. That's called college. Ask your parents if college is real life, where other people are paying your tuition, you have no mortgage to pay, you do write papers, it's very hard, tests, I'm not saying it's easy. Is that real life? I guess if you're a teacher, you'll be grading tests, but other than that. So, you'll finally leave the bubble of college and go to medical school. Ah, the real world, where you're operating on dead people. And you're studying, you know, what's the worst that can happen by operating on a corpse? Oh my gosh, he lived. You know, that's the worst thing you can imagine. Ask any of your mothers or fathers who happen to be physicians, is medical school a bubble? Ah, if I could go back to medical school, law school, dental school, plumber repair school, these are all bubbles. And then we go, Emir Tzashem, based on the time, we get married.
Amen.
Shana Rishona. That's a halakhically mandated bubble. It's about purpose. So in other words, there are times in our lives where we train, where we kind of come together and we say, this is the way things should be. Having said all that, there's also a time to come out of the cave. There's also an imperative to come out of the cave. In Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's case, it was the cave. In Rabbi Elazar's case, it was Migdal Gedor. And in everybody's case, it was time to come out of the cave and to recognize I had the zuchut to be there and learn the way things ought to be. And now it's time to approach the other world and to appreciate that they have also had experiences before you. Beautiful experiences, special experiences. They can contribute to you, you to them, etc. And perhaps that is one of the messages that I like taking away from Lag BaOmer and these 49 days in general of trying to appreciate every Jew. Can you imagine? Ki Isha Chad B'Lev Echad. Ki Isha Chad B'Lev Echad means 12 Shvatim all around Har Sinai. 12 Shvatim all around the Mishkan. 12 Shvatim all around the Beit HaMikdash. That is the way it's going to be rebuilt. B'Mehera V'Yameinu. Amen.
Amen.